song.
Is the song the heaven sings, all creation praising, hallelujah and lauding.
Come to reign,
come to reign forever.
Hallelujah.
King of kings and Lord of lords, lift your heads, O Zion, open wide the ancient doors, we cry holy.
It is becoming clearer to us by the day that you are light and you there is no darkness at all. And so we cry, holy, 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 Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord of hosts. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves, being so full of appreciation and thanks for your manifest presence in our midst. Truly, you have inhabited our praises and our worship. We're grateful. As we go into the word, like Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, we will not go. We ask the same presence to go with us as we enter your word. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should as an oracle of God. Put the same unction that's on me upon the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, wherever they may be all over the world, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, in particular to cause our wills to be more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray for mercy, that the power of God be released in great measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, deliver, break yokes and free men, so that indeed they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We ask for mercy to be faithful. In particular, Father, help me to deliver the word with precision to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring out of the treasure of this word things you know as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' name. And all's in agreement, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed and said,
amen.
Amen. This afternoon I have a brief exhortation for us, which in a sense is a spin-off from Pastor Conley's Bible study, even though I prepared this independent of that. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit synchronizes the things we do. And I've entitled it Faith, Grace, Works, and Diligence. That's a long title, but I just wanted to put everything in. Now, not too long ago, and Pastor Conley actually brought up the Bible study, I taught us on being strong in faith. These are things that are fundamental, but sadly, most Christians either are ignorant, or where they're not ignorant, they're sloppy, if I can use that expression. The Bible actually talks about that. It uses the word slothful. The Bible says we let these things slip, even though we know them. You know, these are things that the average Christian who's been exposed to some degree of the faith message should know already. But it will amaze you how in practice, in daily life, like the choir was singing, keep the faith switched, keep the faith of, the switch of faith turned on, you find that in the lives of a lot of people, the switch of faith is turned off. They turn it on sometimes when time of emergency, then they switch it off again. And they do it sometimes unconsciously. And it stems from a lack of deep understanding and what I would term working revelation knowledge. You see, there's revelation knowledge, then there's revelation knowledge that you are actively practicing. And that's the one that is really, that's going to produce results. Knowledge that is not acted upon doesn't produce results. It just puffs you up. Just makes you think you're smarter than the other guy because you know something they don't know. But you see, what you know doesn't count if you don't practice it. So I want to talk about faith. I want to talk about grace. I want to talk about works. And I want to talk about diligence. They're all interconnected. Let me start with faith. We all know or should know that I want to keep it as simple and as brief as possible. Faith is very simply, you know, perceiving as real fact invisible spiritual realities. I have put a lot of things together in that. You see that from Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified Bible. You know, faith, you see, spiritual things are real. Whether you believe them or not doesn't change that. But when you have faith, then you will perceive their reality in your heart, even though you've not yet seen them. When you have that revelation, you can call it, when you have that perception, when the invisible spiritual realities are real to you in your own heart, then you have faith about those particular ones. That's what faith is. The Bible, what the Bible does is actually gives us information about what we cannot see. It's giving information about what is real and exists, but you can't see them. Then the Holy Spirit, his job now is to enlighten your mind from the inside so that you can see it in your mind, even though you cannot see with your eyes, with your physical eyes. But you can see them with the eyes of your understanding. When you are seeing it in your heart, you have faith. When the light grows dim and you no longer see it, you have doubt. And I said this when I ministered some time ago. It's dynamic. In other words, it changes with time. That's why you have to stay in the Word. If you don't stay in the Word, the light level can, intensity can go down. And what you even used to believe, you start doubting it. Like John the Baptist. You know what Jesus said about him? He said he was a shining, bright and shining light. He was the one who said, "Behold the Son of God, the Lamb of God to take away the..." Then the same person, some months later, said, "Art thou he that cometh?" I said, what happened? The light went down. And for this reason, the scripture says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Why? Because the entrance of the word gives light. You stop supplying the light. You stop seeing the reality. The more of the light you get, the brighter it gets in your mind. That you call it conviction. You are convinced of its reality. You know why? You can see it, even though you can't see with these two eyes. Then the second aspect of faith is the exercise of faith, or you can call it the works of faith, that will now translate that spiritual reality into physical manifestation where you can see it. Now, this is where the problem lies. Most Christians don't understand that there are certain spiritual laws or work. It's work, but it's not the works of the flesh. They are, I will call them the works of the spirit, for want of a better expression. There are certain physical, spiritual activities or labor you have to participate in and practice in order to release sufficient spiritual power to translate. I'm using very technical expressions. The word translate means to move. To move a spiritual reality from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. This is where the issue of works, diligence, and grace and mercy, I didn't mention mercy, but it's part of it, come in. You see, when you have faith in what God has, thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. When you have faith in what God has said, you can, like I explained, see the reality of what God has said in your heart by revelation, by light, even though it's not yet manifest to your physical senses. That's one aspect. The second aspect, because that is the aspect of what God has said, you also need to have faith in God as a person. Now, you're not going to translate God into physical manifestation, although in a sense you do. The Bible says the word is made flesh, which is what we're talking about, you know, manifestation of the sons of God and all that. But strictly speaking, you have to also have faith in God as a person. God is not a formula, even though he works by formulas. Trust me, all those formulas come from God. Amen. Newton's laws of motion comes from God. All the mathematical formulas, you know, there is God who put them there. You know, that's why things work by principle. That's why, you know, that's why, let me just keep it simple. That's why the earth revolves around its axis, you know, every 24 hours. It's a law. Who put it there? God. And then, you know, it has what we call 2 degrees of motion. There's one around its axis. And while it is spinning around the axis, at the same time, it's going around the sun. 365 days a year, you know, with a little bit of variation here and there, but generally speaking, it's the same. You know, we call it, you know, the orbit of the earth around the sun. But why am I saying? These are mathematical laws. Who put them there? God. You see, scientists, bless their darling hearts, who think they're so smart. You know, what is science? The word science comes from the Greek word, which means knowledge. You know, what is science? It's only discovering what God has already put there. No scientist has ever created any law. All they have just done is discover. You only discover, and that's what should make us afraid. I mean, one of us afraid now, not afraid in a terrorist kind of way, but reverential. Ha! The person that did it, that put this thing together, must be an Iwinyo. You know, when we're in secondary school, when you're very brilliant, you know, when you're good in physics and math, you know, your nickname will be Iwinyo. In our language, Iwinyo just means a small devil. But really, what they're trying to say is that your knowledge is supernatural. That's, you know, even though they're saying in a negative kind of wrong way, you know. And then, you know, you can see that man is actually trying to get the mind of God. Oyibona witch. Have you heard it before? You know, I remember when mobile phones started coming out, you know, we had, you know, before it was only not 9-0, and only the very rich people had mobile phones. So when it started becoming common, you know, I think I passed some people, I can't remember where I was, you know, I passed some people or something. This is when, you know, the convergence of communications, where on a mobile phone, you could not only talk, you could also see pictures, you could also watch movies. You know, these were things that were not, the only thing people knew about mobile phone before was to talk about it. And people say, Oibona witch. Now witch, true. It's God who gave it to them. That kind of knowledge is only God that can reveal it. It was not Oibo that created it. Oibo just discovered it. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. God is great. God is great is not not flattery. Thank you, Wally. Pastor Wally says on there, it is an understatement. God is truly great. Those of us in sciences and technology, you know, the more I uncover this, the more I just stand back and say, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So faith is seeing the invisible, that's on one hand, and then trusting in God as a person. That's where the issue of mercy and grace come in. You see, when you have faith, there's one thing to have faith in God's word, which is very important, but you also must have faith in God as a person. It is that personal faith that releases grace and mercy. Because what is grace? It's a favor. What is mercy? It's God's favor in another sense, but instead of it coming from the inside through the blood of Jesus, and it comes from the outside. It has to do with God's disposition. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You see, there's an aspect of the faith message that is left out, sadly. This question of grace and mercy. You see, I'm going to talk about the works and the diligence in a minute, but the fuel, the power that causes the works, confession, praying in tongues, giving thanks, to work, comes from grace. You lose the grace connection, you'll just be making noise. And it's that link that the Holy Spirit wants me to emphasize this afternoon. The fundamentals of faith have two branches. There is faith in God as a person that releases mercy and grace. Then there is faith in God's word that reveals to you invisible realities. You got to marry both of them. So when you're exercising faith, it's not just question of, you know, repeating, by the side of Jesus I'm healed, by the side of Jesus I'm healed, by the side. That's a part of it. What you're doing there is that you're keeping, like we're singing, the switch of faith turned on. You're saying what God said. That's very important. You need to keep saying that. But your trust needs to be in the God who is above that system, that is going to be giving you mercy and grace, so that what you are saying will work. Is this delicate balance that most people and many Christians are either ignorant of or unaware of? Then there's another aspect. Because of the English, not just English, the human language expressions we use, sometimes it puts us in a bind when we don't have understanding. I want to repeat a statement I have often said, and it bears repetition now because of the context. The letter kills, the spirit gives life. Do you know, and Pastor Kunle hit it today when I was talking in the Bible study, there is nothing you can do. That makes God owe you anything. I'll explain. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Watch this. For he that cometh to God must. It's not optional. Believe that he is. That's the personal aspect. As a person. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, wait. Do you mean that, you know, your diligence is what God rewards or pays for? You know, he's paying you for that? I know that's not what it means. But you know, because of the English language, or the language, that the only way we can try and explain it. What God, the reality is this. What God actually does, that when God sees your effort, that effort to him is a corresponding action of the fact that you believe that he is. He will then reward it with mercy and grace. Mercy and grace really is not a reward, because you can't work from his own merited favor. But that's the best way we can explain it to you. God responds. When you act on God's word because you believe God, because you believe his word, when God sees that honesty and he sees that faith and he sees the effort you're putting in, he will now respond with mercy and grace. Mercy and grace will now release life and power to cause the effort to translate the spiritual reality into physical manifestation. That is a comprehensive understanding. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 verse 27. I'm not talking to anybody here. If I'm helping you, give me a wave offering. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Watch this. He that diligently seeketh good does what? Procures favor. But favor is unmerited. So it looks like a contradiction of terms. But what God is trying to teach you is he's trying to teach you the connection between grace, faith, and works. The essence of this message. He wants us to understand that when he sees faith in your heart, believing, like I said, two branches, believing in God as a person, he's a good person. Turn to your neighbor, say it in Yoruba. Those of us who don't understand Yoruba, say, you know, God doesn't lie. He's not like you. He's not like me. When he says something, you can rely on it. It's fundamental. It's what faith is all about. Faith is trusting in God's integrity. On one hand. Then on the other hand, is believing the spiritual reality that of the promises that he speaks, that the spiritual realities that the promises his word paint. You can see them. So God, who can see the invisible, puts it in his word that you can read and says that thing is real. For instance, you're healed. For instance, I will supply all of my need, your need according to my riches in glory. For instance, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You haven't seen it, but I stake my integrity on it. That's why I've put it in my word. I have magnified my word above my name. If I put it in my word, be sure I am not lying. Is it clear? You got to marry the two aspects. Faith in God as a person, and then faith in God's word. When you now have that, you now begin to perform what I call the works of faith, or the labor of faith, if you like. You know, which are, I've said it in summary, and we won't go through all of that in detail today. You know, confession, praying in tongues and groanings, thanksgiving. All that spiritual activity, what fuels it is life, Zoe, and power. And what gives life and power is grace and mercy. So that's why your faith has to be in God as a person. So yeah, I'm praying, I'm speaking in tongues and all of that, but my faith is not in my works. My faith is in the mercy and the grace of God to cause my works to be fruitful. So I stop trusting in my works, even though I must work. I trust now in God. So when I'm praying, I'm not just doing a mechanical thing. When I'm speaking the word, I'm not just doing a mechanical exercise. I am constantly looking up to the God who is supplying the mercy and the grace to cause my efforts to work. Is it clear? Yes, sir. You've got to link it up. Do you understand? I will say faith, grace, mercy, works, diligence. There's a connection between all of them. Is this clear? Is it clear? What's diligence? Diligence is just consistency in those works. It's consistent, concentrated, and well-directed effort. So you keep applying the effort consistently. When you do that, you're telling God, I trust you. The answer hasn't yet come, but I'm not going to stop until the answer comes. So that consistency, that diligence is actually a corresponding action of faith, telling God that, yes, the answer hasn't come, but I know you're working on it. I can't see it, but I know you're working on it. And I'm going to let you continue to work on it through this consistency in my confession, consistency in my praying in the Spirit, consistency in my thanksgiving. Am I talking to anybody here? And any other corresponding physical action that is a consequence of that spiritual activity. Now, that is a very important point. That's where we get to presumption. You see, you don't just jump out. Let me use the typical example. You know, faith is not taking medicine. Not taking medicine is not faith. Yeah, okay, you don't take medicine. But, kilobojule? I said that in our language. You know, you don't take your medicine. But on what basis? Are you not taking that medicine? The physical action of not taking medicine in itself is not faith. It must have a foundation. So, you are not taking medicine. Now, I want to ask, are you confessing? Are you praying in the Spirit? Are you thanking God? Are you trusting in His mercy and His grace? If you're not doing all of that thing, that act of not taking medicine is presumptuousness. You're okay, you don't want to take medicine, fine. But if you don't want to take medicine, then you have to have all the other connections. Trusting in God's mercy and grace. Seeing in the realm of the Spirit that you are healed. That your healing is a reality. Then saying God's word. Then praying in the Spirit. Then thanking God. Then, if all that is in place, you can now put the not taking medicine, because the power that's coming from all of that will now move into the system and get you healed. But it will not get you healed simply because you don't take your medicine. If all this other stuff is not in the background, is it clear? Not that same thing going for, you know, go and give person a check in faith without any money in your bank. I don't know why you're laughing. But well, I've been in this faith thing for years. I did it as a young Christian, you know, believing God, you know, and trusting that, you know, because you heard somebody's testimony. And you know, that's why testimonies are dangerous. Faith, testimonies don't give you faith. They inspire faith, but don't go and copy what somebody else did. You don't know what God said to them. And you don't know the spiritual forces and circumstances that were working in that particular situation that caused it. Yes, there are people who have, by faith, written a check and there's no money in the bank and have taken it somewhere, trusting God that by the time they go and pay the money in, either they postdate it, that God would have moved and the money would be. And there are times it has worked. But it will be height of foolishness and stupidity and presumptuousness for you to go about giving people dud checks in faith. You will go to jail and your pastor will say amen. That's not what we taught them in church. So you normally wouldn't do that. What do? You pray, you trust God. God moves circumstances, the money enters the bank, then you take the check. It's still faith. But the faith has come into physical manifestation. Because the guy you are dealing with doesn't know faith. All he knows is the balance on the account. He doesn't know invisible realities. He does not know Philippians 4:1. You know it, but he doesn't know it. So you deal with your God and your faith. Then when the thing has worked, then bring it to the man who doesn't have faith. Am I talking to you? The same thing is true of medicine. I'm using these two as typical examples of where Christians are so silly. Because we're not properly taught. So, we need to connect, so I begin to close, these things. Everybody say faith, trust in God as a person that releases grace, unmerited favor, mercy, to release life and power that will now cause me to see the invisible, to speak God's word, to pray in the spirit, to give thanks well, or give thanks always, and then take appropriate physical actions to bring into physical manifestation what I'm believing God for. That's the sequence. You can't remove, don't jump the queue. So anytime you're trusting God for anything, it doesn't matter what it is. This principle works across board. It's multi-platform. Amen. It works on Apple. It works on Samsung. You know, it doesn't matter what you're believing God for. These principles are eternal. Trust in God as a person. Then trust in God's word. Then from the person of God, I like that scripture. I'm going to close with it. It's Hebrews 4:16. It's one of my favorite scriptures. It says that, you know, let us therefore, I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor, say, therefore, for what? In the light of all pastors said, let us therefore come boldly. Turn to your neighbor, that means confidently. It does not mean presumptuously. Let us come confidently unto the throne. Look at what he calls it. Of grace. He doesn't even use the throne of faith. But it's faith. Because by how are you saved? By faith. By grace through faith. So faith is a channel to get grace. Let us come confidently. I didn't hear you. Under the throne of grace. Watch this. That we may obtain mercy. Look at the things. Look at the things he ties together. He hasn't even talked about what you want. He hasn't talked about what you are believing for. The first thing he's concerned about for you to get is mercy and grace. That we may find grace to help in the time of need. Need is the last thing. The last thing is need. Yes, God's going to meet your need. But don't focus on that. Focus on God as a person. Focus on his word. Focus on his mercy. Focus on his grace. Then use that grace and mercy to do the works of faith and your needs will be met. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, talk to God. Talk to God, folks. I am excited. The Holy Ghost just told me something. I haven't said this. I'm sure I haven't said it in 20 years, if not more. I could have said it in church some years ago. I even doubt. As a young Christian, in my early days, and I began to pray and read the Bible, through the ministry of Kenneth Hagin and E.W. Kenyon, the E.W. Kenyon wrote a book. Is one of the things that I have kept before me over the last almost 40 years. I still have it. It's now on my computer, you know. In my office, I have a picture frame. But inside that picture frame are prophecies. There are three of them. There's one from Kenneth Hagin. There's two from E.W. Kenyon, which are really extracts from his book. And it is what I want to tell you about now. He wrote a book called The Wonderful Name of Jesus. And in that book, He said, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember everything word for word, but I certainly remember the spirit of it. You know, new land ahead. He said that. Many of us are still in the babyhood stage of Christianity. He said we are trying to have faith. But each person is trying to convince the other person to do what he himself is not doing. He said it would seem that we are playing a game of bluff. He said, but we have a conviction that before the Lord Jesus returns, and that's what just excited me now, because the Holy Ghost told me said the time is now, there will rise a mighty army of believers who will learn the secret of living by faith, of living the transcendent resurrection life of the Son of God amongst men. Then, in another portion, this is the one I haven't said in recent times, you know, he said that their act of faith, their operating of faith will be as simple as you writing a check. When you write a check and there is money in your account, you have faith, but you know the money is there. You are not, when you're writing that check, you're not afraid. Because you know the money is in the account. When your faith grows to the point where you know that the invisible spiritual realities are as real as what you can see, then when somebody comes to you and say, if you will, you can make me whole, you will say, be made whole, instant. What I have just taught you this afternoon, if you begin to practice it, you are on the road to that place where you will be exercising the highest level of faith and do it as unconsciously as writing a check. Because you would have so understood and be so established in these spiritual realities and principles of faith, you will operate them as easily as you operate any natural thing, like writing a check. That's what Jesus did. I've always wondered about Jesus. He just do it. There was, you know why? He wasn't just doing stupid things. There were all this background was there. Faith, mercy, grace, confession, prayer in the spirit, thanksgiving. It was all there. So when he now comes and this person comes to him and two blind men, they come into the house and they say, you know, Lord, give us thy sight. He said, believest thou that I'm able to do this? And they say, yes, Lord. He said, be opened. Let it be unto thee according to thy faith. Just like that. Boom. Leper comes to him. You can make me clean if thou wilt. Oh, no problem. I will. Go. 10 lepers. Oh, son of David, have mercy on us, son of David. And he stops in his tracks. Go and show yourself to the priest. Oh, Shelemega. Ah, Pastor Bega, we are getting there. Just no ceremony, no fanfare. And just on the funny side, no sitting, take up any offerings. Just put that on the side. You know, it's not about money. That's a serious anointing. He just said to them, he said, go and show yourself to the priest. He didn't lay hands. No anointing oil. No anointing oil. Just said, go and show yourself. The word, he sent his word. He sent his word and healed them. No physical contact. Complete radio transmission. Go and show yourself to the priest. The Bible says, and they were healed as they went. You know what? It's like sending out a signal. So the signal went into the air. When they obeyed, it hit them. The leprosy disappeared immediately. Say, Pastor, is this kind of faith available? That's what I've just taught you. The problems have been wrongly taught, and the right ingredients have not been put there. When you put the right ingredients there, you will get the same result. God is not a formula. He works by formulas. You know, always relate to God as a person. When he got to Lazarus' tomb, he wasn't thinking about confession and how many times have I confessed the word and have I bound the devil. He had done all of that. But that was not his focus. He looked up. He linked with the person. He looked up and said, Father, I thank thee. I thank thee that you have heard me. And I say it not because of me, but because of these people. They said, where have you laid him? So by this time he stinketh. Jesus had already passed all of that. His faith had already passed all of that. The stinking is not going to, it's not going to disturb him. The stinking of the body cannot inhibit spiritual forces. When you know what you know, and you believe, you understand the principles. He said, roll the stone away. Did I not tell you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? And then he just used one simple principle, confession. All the others were in the background. He just took that one. Lazarus, come forth. End of story. The guy hopped out. And like Pastor Conley told us earlier, he removed the Greek rule. But the point is this. He operated faith. Apparently simple. But all this was in the background. He didn't go in there presumptuously. He didn't. Because when he heard Lazarus, he stayed where he was and prayed. So all these other things, the mercy, the grace, the confession, the praying in the spirit, all of that was already there. It was that Lazarus, they said, oh, they don't kill you. He said, I'm not walking in darkness. It was an appropriate corresponding action of faith that came out of all of that spiritual activity. When you begin to operate like that, you will know what to do, where to go, what to say. And every time you exercise it, you will get the result. Touch your heart. Raise your hand. I don't know if I've helped you. Oh, glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be one of those E.W. Kenyon talked about. I will exercise the highest level of faith as unconsciously as I write a check. Because I understand what I'm doing. Hallelujah. Understand is so important. So many Christians don't understand faith. And I got a lot of presumptuousness. You know, this is part of what we said in Isaiah 40. You know, a lot of our faith is full of crooked places. A lot of our faith has, you know, a lot of bumps. Rough places. A lot of our faith has high mountains. Presumptuousness. So the glory can come. But if you will fill the valleys and level out the hills and the mountains and straighten out with correct knowledge, that's why we need epignosis. When the knowledge is incomplete, the road is crooked. When it's complete knowledge, then the road is straight. And then when you put mercy and grace on top of that knowledge, it will smoothen out the rough places. Then anytime you speak, it will bring the glory of God. Talk to God. Raise that hand. I don't know about you. I'm about to take off. God just, the Holy Spirit told me, he said, what you're doing now, see, by speaking this my word, you are helping me to build that army. There's going to be an army of boys and girls and men and women who will learn to exercise the highest level of faith like Jesus did. And do it with the same unconsciousness that you do when you write a check. Thy people shall be with me in the day of thy power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Faithful God. sufficient one. Hallelujah.
All sufficient one.
We lift you high.
We worship you, Lord. Shalom of peace.
A strong deliverer.
We lift you high. Faithful God.
Sing it to him.
Faithful,
it's not a song. It's a song, but you're singing to a person.
Faithful God.
All sufficient one.
All sufficient.
We worship you. This is Jesus. Shalom of peace. A strong deliverer. We lift you high.
We lift you high.
Faithful God. Hallelujah. As we pray, God wants us to respond in faith, genuine faith, to the glory of God by His mercy and grace. As His servant, I have just taught you true Bible faith, complete Bible faith. We've had it in bits and pieces over the years, but what the grace of God which is with me has helped me to do now, I want to put the thing together. So when you're exercising faith, you have all those things in place. Trusting God as a person, trusting His mercy, trusting His grace. See the invisible reality of His word. Then with that foundation, you start the works. Confession, praying in the spirit, thanksgiving, and any other appropriate action that comes out of that activity. Thing will come to pass. Diligence, it's consistency until it comes to pass. It will come to pass. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, oh my God, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, reminding me of the complete principles of faith. Trusting in you as a person for your mercy and grace. Trusting in the invisible realities that your word informs us of. And then doing the works of faith. Speaking your word. Praying in the spirit. In tongues as well as with travail, giving you thanks as I do this, and then acting on any appropriate actions that come out of this spiritual activity with consistency and diligence until the physical manifestation. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me, help me, help me to exercise, develop, increase and grow in this true, pristine Bible faith. In Jesus' name. Nekatala makato fredeles. Lipriketo fredengas tofre. Zele prikito fredengars. Nehenzeli hikotoske fredes. Likertoske fre. Luprikito fredes. Jikito fredengar. Lombrigatoske fri. Loprikato fre. Lapri zofre. Doklamatuske frinis. Zafre la prigetolo zafre ningetuske frede langa tolo musho lombra matolo mutufri do frishi tolo matolo mangokro matolo mutufri do frishi zafre lambrige tolo mangokro matolo mutufri do frishi ga tolo mangar tolo mashai iki toko gokro matolo tolo mutufri do frishi do fres no frenes do frilis jiki tu frenes nongaras tolo mashales tu frinis Tufriningaras, Tufrinis, Nangiros, Tufrinis, Zefredeles, Naskofridis, Zofridilikaras, Noftefridigos, Nongitalas, Zeheaya, Yuhukuru, Zefre, Lembrigitufrinis, Tolomashangi, Tala, Tufrinis, Tolomashalika Tufre, Tufriningitufris. In Jesus' name. Put your hand down. We're now going to pray for our healing. Put the healing confession on. Let me say one or two words about healing. Very important. It's a covenant right. A lot of Christians, again, because of wrong teaching or lack of it, not necessarily wrong, you know, don't understand this thing, what I'm about to say. Jesus did three things on the cross. He did a lot of things, but three major things. On that cross, he took our sin to free us, like Pastor Kunle beautifully taught, from the punishment of sin, which is to go to hell, and from the power of sin to dominate us in our conduct. But simultaneously, when he did that, he also freed us from sickness. It's the same package. You are as free from sickness as you are from sin. Now, I want to ask you a question. If the thought of fornication or adultery came to your mind and that feeling was coming against your body, what will you do? You resist it, don't you? You resist it, right? This is the devil. You know, I'm not going to allow that in my life and in my thinking. Why don't you resist sickness the same way? Your reaction to sickness is not the same as your reaction to sin. You react. When you see sin or homosexual or some horrible, immediately you hate sin and you want to resist it. But when you see sickness, you say, you're welcome. You even say, it's my sickness. I don't blame you. It's a stronghold. It's been there for thousands of years. The church has come to Christians can be sick. Well, if Christians are supposed to live above sin, then they are also to live above sickness. Because the price was paid at the same time. But I got more news for you. The same is true of poverty. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So the same way you resist sin and you resist sickness, you resist poverty. It's one package. But you know, we've segregated them and said, yeah, sin is bad, but sickness is not so bad. If somebody committed adultery, God forbid, you know, I'm saying, that Christian is a bad Christian, you know, and you know, but if somebody is sick, everybody feels sorry for the person. Now, it's not a wrong in that we should have compassion, all of that. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we should see sickness as something you don't want. It's the same way as you don't want sin. Same thing is true of poverty. It's not in the Bill of Rights. Touch your body. Lord, where you are. See, it doesn't mean we won't be attacked. I sometimes, you know, I get attacked by sickness, you know, and I still, you know, but this mentality I have, and I'm still learning to put it in myself. So this morning, I woke up about 4:30. Prayed. Started praying. Then something like fever, the whole thing, my body just started, my head started aching. You know, my first reaction was to me, let me go and take medicine, which is not wrong, you know. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, have you resisted it? No, I hadn't. I was just reaching out. I hadn't resisted. I didn't even do any, you know. Holy Spirit said, resist it now. Resist it. Resist it like you resist sickness, like you resist sin. And I said, Lord, thank you. I said, Father, confess in Jesus' name, I have life. Lord, have mercy on me. I said, I resist you. You know, it went in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I said, yeah. La sufa. Bishu shema muani goni. I'm a gbawa bibo kake. Exactly. So now you'll be there for 2 weeks. Catching the sickness. Tell everybody about it, how sick you are, so that they will all feel sorry for you, and they will cry, and then they will give you medicine. I'm not saying it's wrong to take medicine, don't misunderstand me. What I am saying is that we should have a militant attitude. The same militant attitude we have against sin, against sickness, and against ignorance, and against lack of knowledge, and against poverty. Now touch your body. Hallelujah. I had to say that to fire your faith up. And don't take any nonsense from the devil. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Say, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life and power, we are healed. And we live in divine healing and health. Sickness was carried by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. So sickness has no legal right in my body, and I am not going to allow it. I will resist every vestige of sickness the same way I resist sin. So I say, I am healed by the resurrection life and power that was wrought in Christ when he was raised from the dead. I release it into my body, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my liver, my kidneys, all my internal organs, my blood vessels, into the DNA of every cell in my body to function error-free, into my immune system to function error-free. I say, I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Now pray in tongues and blast up, blast him away. The enemy will come in, but like a flood, blast him away. Blast him away. Sheki to frenengara, lipiti to frenengas. Zefriga klom, lumbre de frido freshe, zufridika, lambra dolom tulom to fresh, ninga toska free, zofre, lengara klamashoko, zefri, zefre, lubrika tolomasha, lambra katulom to fresh, lungar klom, lumber klomatuk, tulom to fredush, lumber komatulom lumber do freshe, to frido frido freshe, lumber klamatuk, lumber kash to fresh. Lumber gumatuk, lumber goma shaka, lumber to fresh, lumber dolom to fredes, no fredes, no corodolos, dolo fredes, dolomangeras, jiki to fresh, lobredeles, tolomaros, to frenes, nengaros, lopredeles, zifridios, nonga tuska, lambridis, zofridis, In Jesus' name. Keep your hand on your body. Raise your hand. I'm not going to pray for your needs. Now, this prayer, I'm going to pray it under the Holy Spirit. Because, see, I don't know you individually. And I don't know your need. And then, most importantly, I don't know your spiritual level. So I can't pray a blanket like they do in a lot of places, which are just lies. I all can't pray blanket, you know, blessing on everybody. But what I am going to pray is that God will have mercy and he will supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, teaching you to prosper as your soul prospers. That's the prayer I'm going to pray, because it is the scriptural prayer. And then God is going to meet everybody, like they say, at their point of need. See, Brother Larry's need is going to be different from your need. You know, and it's going to be different from her need. It's going to be different from her need. And then, you know, God knows you better than I know you. So God knows what he's going to do for you and how much of it he will do for you. But he's going to help everybody. Now raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I come to pray under the for everyone on the sound of my voice. Those who are physically present, those who are hearing on the internet or television. Lord God, I ask that you come and have mercy on your people and meet them at their point of need. Help them to prosper even as their souls prosper. In Jesus' name, amen. Chakato frenengara. Now blast the devil away. Salaprikato frenes. Lipikito frenenga solo. Jelikato frenenges. Zofredele katolo masha. Lombrakomatulum. Ha! Tokote frenenga tolo. Lombrakomatulum tolom tufrishi. Tolomatulum tolom tufri dufrishi. Krufri dufrishi. Toklamatulum tufrishi. In Jesus' name. Before we share the benediction, there's a part of the story I told you I haven't told you. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to tell them that part too. He says that they have a comprehensive understanding. You see, this morning when I woke up and I had that feverish feeling, I knew I was coming to preach. I was going to be in church. I can't afford to be sick. And that's one reason why I want to take the medicine immediately. So the Holy Spirit now said, resist it. And I said, okay, Lord. I said, but Lord, it must be spirit without measure. I said, it has to go instantly. If in 30 minutes I'm not feeling better, I have to take the meds because I have to go to church. And God said, that's okay. Let's test it. That's what happened. I didn't even remember because I had to go and have my bath. So as I was praying, and I just discovered that it's gone. He did it in less time. I told God, I said, if I don't see anything in 30 minutes, an hour, I will add medicine to my faith. I'll keep praying and all of that, you know, to help me so that I have to go to church and all of that. The reason why I say the Holy Spirit had me share this is this. Sometimes you start your faith and keep operating it. If you need to take medicine, take medicine. It's not a lack of faith. Are you listening to me? So that you can go on with other things. Because at the end of the sickness is a distraction. When you are sick, you can't pray. When you are sick, you can't confess. When you are sick, you can't give thanks. Well, you can give thanks, but you can't give as nicely as you would when you're okay. Are you listening to me? So it's not wrong to take your medicine. But in this particular case, there are times, I mean, I still take medicine. Don't misunderstand me. As I speak, I take medicine. But, you know, there are just times when, you know, I just pray and, you know, if I don't need to, then I don't. But if I need to, I will. Is this clear? That is a very important balance And I had to, you know, because the Bible says, renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. I'm an honest minister. I have to tell you the whole truth. I can't just, you know, make you make think that I'm so strong and this great Superman of faith. It's true. Because you get people into trouble by doing that. If you really care for the sheep and you want them to grow, you've got to tell them the whole truth. Are you listening to me? Very, very important. So that is a very important balance to what I have just taught. We are coming to the place where the measure of the power of God that is available is increasing to the point where it becomes spirit without measure. Spirit without measure doesn't mean you can't measure. It just means it's very large compared to what we used to have. It is spirit without measure that causes things to come instant. It causes it to come in a very short time. When you have the normal spirit with measure, it takes a longer time. And sometimes you have to take medicine to help and all of that, which is okay. It's all a growth process. Is this clear? Is this clear?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Join hands with somebody if you can. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I am so excited. We're looking at the thing like this. The thing is just round the corner. The glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God. And God is removing all the bumps and all the crooked places, clearing the whole way so that we can drive on a straight path pilot. And clear the road for those who are coming. See, the generations that come, they're not going to have the problem we have. Because they won't be taught all the unbelief we were taught. All they're going to know is faith, prayer, life, grace, mercy, and brother. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! They will take the devil to the cleaners. Then the earth will be filled with the glory of God. As the waters cover the sea. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. For the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name,
amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, as you diligently exercise faith, you procure grace and mercy. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a great week.